You know, I want to talk to you this morning about our work. If you follow along with me in the outlines, let's look at this together. Work that God's given us to do. Looking at the book of Corinthians. Ladies group is working through this book. It's a joy to be able to share the Word of God with you. I pray that this would be something that would help you in your everyday life. You know, here's the thing. You saw the reading that we had from Corinthians, and we just have a couple little verses right there. It's verses 29 to 31. Those are selected readings. But, you know, if you just take that section that we had, that you heard, it looks like Paul's talking about the end of the world, the second coming of Christ. That's what it looks like. And the problem is that if you just were to take those words and you were to try to understand them and work through them, you would get the exact opposite meaning of what he's trying to say. He's not talking about the end of the world. It's really not the point. It's like, Paul, what are you trying to say? Why? What's the point? And that's what we want to look at. So I want to get to work. I'll share with you about work. I want to give you something to stand on that will help you as you're living your daily work. And even if you're retired, you still have tasks to do. You're taking care of loved ones or other things. And this will be an encouragement to you in this. Now, here's the thing. The Corinthians, you might not have thought about this, but this is a key point when you read Corinthians. The Corinthians were first generation believers. They were first generation believers. Now that is very impactful. It's the type of thing where before them, you know, even within a husband and wife, even within a family, these people were just happily worshiping Zeus or Athena or something else. Boom, Jesus Christ committed their life. It was an amazing change that was happening. And among first century believers especially, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, it doesn't really matter, there was this idea that the world is passing away very quickly. As a matter of fact, many thought it was going to happen within their generation. They believed that. And when the apostles were talking to Jesus Christ, right before his ascension, and they're all gathered around, and they didn't know Jesus was going to ascend, they asked him, they said, "So, Jesus, are you going to establish your kingdom here on earth now?" And Jesus said, "Well, not really, guys. Folks, it's, you know, I want you to return back to Jerusalem. Go back to Jerusalem and wait there until power comes on you from on high and the Holy Spirit empowers you." And then he went on to say in Acts 1:8, he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth." That means us. Now, they could not understand at the time that there had to be a lot of history that took place that yet had to play out. And along with that, many people were going to come to know Christ and receive the power of God's Holy Spirit. So Paul's summary statements here that we have in our reading, they are balancing out their perspective. Christ is coming back, but it might be a while. Paul says the world is passing away. Notice in the reading, he doesn't say soon. He says the world is passing away, not soon. Now, one of the problems that the Corinthian believers had, and I think we have it too to a certain degree, is the uncertainty of how our Christian faith should affect our ordinary relationships. You wouldn't have to concentrate on that if all you're looking at is the second coming of Christ. It's not that important. You wouldn't have to think about it that much. But the truth is that there are a lot of time, a lot of years that you're going to spend working, that you're going to have relationships, that you're going to be living out your life here. And, you know, some of the questions they had, I think, are really cool. You might not have them. I know they've been around in the church for a long time. Let me share one of the questions. These guys were pretty matter-of-fact, too. I mean, these guys are pretty just straight to the point as far as their questions are concerned. One that they raised is they said, okay, you have a husband and wife, they become believers. And when they become believers, should they still have sexual relationships? Should they remain pure? What should they do? And Paul, that was one of the questions they asked. And Paul said, absolutely not. No, it's fine. It's part of marriage. It's how God has made it. This is the way it is. Another question that they had, they asked a question about marriage. They went on to say, okay, so you have a wife, comes a believer, husband, doesn't really want to follow, doesn't really, you know, he's not really a believer. Should she pull out of the marriage in order to keep the faith? And Paul again says, no, it should not. You see, here's the thing, is that you should stay in the relationship wherever God has called you. And faith in Christ as Lord and Savior will never destroy the covenant of marriage, which God ordained since the creation. Faith confesses that God works through it. And here's an interesting thing. Whether you are a Christian or whether you are not a Christian, whether you are a Buddhist, a Hindu, Muslim, it doesn't matter what it is. Marriage works. It is amazing when you see people in a married relationship, and I know people that are not believers in any way, shape, or form, but marriage has been such a blessing to them and such a blessing to their children. Why? Because God made it. God made it for us, to bless us as to who we are. And besides, marriage is not the problem. I know our culture is challenged by this, but marriage is not the problem. Sin is the problem. When sin gets in the lead of a married relationship, for example, and starts guiding it and starts directing it, that's when you have problems. And Christ actually is a loving solution to that and the encouragement that we need. So with that introduction, Paul moves to another really critical issue, crucial issue of our living, the work that we have to do, our jobs. And so the ending comment that Paul has, Corinthians chapter 7, he's talking about our life in the world. And I want to assure you, as I look at you guys this morning, I want to assure you of this fact, that before you were born, God knew exactly what you were going to do. And I want to encourage you this morning to see that God is with you in your work, and to consider your work as ministry, just as with marriage. Paul says that we should see our work more than just work. Paul says the same thing in three different verses in the section. See, I added a couple extra sections in our outline so we could see more of the context. And in verse 17, he says, each one of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you. Remain as you were when the Lord first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. And then in verse 20, he says, yes, each one of you should remain just as you were when God called you. Verse 24, he says, each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. In all three of those verses is the word call. The word call we often use to refer to our occupations and our vocations. Now, you might say, you know, I'm a secretary. You might say, I'm a bookkeeper. You might say, I'm a salesman. I'm a homemaker. You know, when Paul talks about the call in these verses, he's saying that we should remain and live in with God in the state in which he's called us. He means remain in the state you were when you were converted. That's part of God's plan for you. See, think about it. When these Corinthians came to know God and they believed in God's Son, God did that with the full knowledge of the work that each one of those Corinthians were doing at the time. So in a very practical word for you and me, don't fret. Don't worry about all the hassles and difficulties that you got to deal with your work, your school, because that's your job many times. What you're doing, don't worry about it. God is with you in it. But the other side of that coin is this. Don't boast about your job like it's all about making money, or it's all about status, or it's all about achievement. Because as Paul says at the end of this section, this world in its present form is passing away. What really matters is devoting yourself, soul, mind, and body, as he says in this text, to obeying his commandments. Now we know obeying his commandments is loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now that is amazing and meant to be very encouraging to us. It's meant to lift us up. Because what better place to share the love of Christ in the workplace? I looked it up. You know, a third of our lives is spent working. That's a long time. And half of our waking hours each day is spent working. So God has called us to use the things of this world as part of our calling. So I want you to see that your work is really ministry. It's really ministry. And so let me just share just a couple, two practical observations that can help you and be an encouragement to you in your work. Well, first, let me share again that God is much more concerned about the way that you do your job than necessarily which job you have or whether you change jobs. You know, in this congregation, we have such a wide variety of people. Sorry if I miss your job, but I'll try to list some that I'm aware of. Nurses, teachers, carpenters, artists, secretaries, bookkeepers, lawyers, receptionists, accountants, social workers, repair workmen women of various types, engineers, office managers, preschool and daycare teachers, plumbers, salesmen, doctors, military personnel, counselors, bankers, musicians, architects, house cleaners, school administrators, housewives, missionaries, pastors, and many more. And what we really need to hear is that what lies most important at the heart of God is not whether or not you move from one job to another or anything like that, but that in our present jobs, we are enjoying God's promised presence. Enjoy God's promised presence in your job. Today is Sunday. Tomorrow is Monday. Yikes. I got a Monday too. And we can't change the calendar. It's a reality. That's exactly what's going to happen. Now, here's the question. Who are you going to meet that Monday with? Who are you going to meet it with? You going to meet it by yourself? God's going with you to work no matter whether you're aware of it or not. He's with you side by side. He doesn't leave at home and say, I'll see you later. He goes right out the door with you. He's in the car with you. He's everywhere with you, and he is side by side with you. And the first step for us is to have that awareness of his presence when we enter the workplace. To remind ourselves, I need to do this for myself. To remind myself that I am not doing this without God's calling. Now, this does not mean that all jobs are okay. Obviously, and he said this to the Corinthians. If you had a professional thief, and there were in the Corinthian congregation, shouldn't steal anymore. If you have a cult prostitute, you should not do that anymore. He even talks about that with slavery. He says, slavery, anything that abuses and hurts people, there are some things in the entertainment industry in America that you should not be involved in. And these things are abusive, they're hurtful, and Paul says, like to slaves, he says, you can get out of it. But, you know, Paul's real thing here is not to condemn any jobs. That's really not his thing. But he's rather teaching that we could find and should find and can find fulfillment in Christ, whatever the job is. Now, let's stop and think about this for a second. This is so unfashionable to say in this culture. This is so countercultural to say. I have to think about it with our three kids, two in graduate school, one that's working. And when I think about this, you know, I have to stop and ask myself. I think long and hard about what I'm communicating and what I'm sharing. Is my thoughts about success biblical or is it just American? You know, the Word of God would tell us that we would take all of our ambition, all of our drive, all that we're pouring in to our work and our upward mobility, that we might pour it in instead to our spiritual zeal. And that we would cultivate an enjoyment of God's presence. You know, what's really fascinating about that is when we have a good attitude in our work, don't we get success anyway? I mean, that's really what blows me away about that. That when we do have a good attitude in our work, and God helps us in that, it actually turns around and blesses us to give us the things that we wanted to begin with. It's just amazing how the grace of God works. So, you know, ask yourself the question, what is God's will for my life? His will is that you would be close to Him and you would know His love and His forgiveness and grace in your life. Not your vocation. Love God. Serve God. See yourself as God's loved child, received by the love and the grace of God in Christ and Christ alone. Take whatever job you want. I mean, Paul is really opening this up. That's the thing that he's sharing with us. You know, I have no doubt, I have absolutely no doubt that if our young people are really seeking and wanting to serve Christ in their relationships and in their job choices, that God in His grace will plant them in exactly the place where He wants them to prosper and be blessed and be used for Him. You know, the last point, that your job, my job, whatever it may be, is God's assignment to you. That's what it is. And I put a couple proverbs in the outline as an encouragement to you. You know, because sometimes we take this on so much of ourselves and we're so worried about all this stuff. But it says, we can make our plans, but the Lord, who loves you and cares for you in Christ, determines our steps. Many are the plans of a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And Jesus, when He talked to His disciples, He said, I am with you even to the ends of the earth. Wherever your job's going to take you, He's with you. He's in that. So, you know, for me, maybe for you, I think it means that I have to often, more often than not, perhaps, turn over a new leaf on Monday. And you got to look at just differently. It's God's grace. So let me end with just a prayer that we can use, we can think about as we enter our lives not alone, but with the grace of God and with God's presence right with us. May that speak peace to our hearts as we pray. God, go with me today. Keep me, Lord, ever conscious of Your presence in Christ. Encourage my heart when I tend to despair. Humble me, Lord, when I tend to boast. Oh God, pour into me Your grace that I might obey Your commands. Lord, which are all summed up in loving my neighbor as myself. Lord, this is my hope, my prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.